This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Falcon fans, how are you feeling about heading into Sunday's matchup with the Cowboys? We're wondering. We feel pretty good. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and we're not extra hyping this thing up. We feel pretty good for various reasons on many levels. We'd love to hear from you guys, 404-726-0929, as we've been talking about this. Brian McFadden stopped by in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll replay that for you later in the show as he was talking about, you know, not getting to the quarterback. And, Mike, he mentioned it's not hurting the secondary. It's not. That is what's crazy, is we're still getting turnovers, we're getting interceptions, the secondary is making plays. But how much better would this look if we were better in that area? That's my question.
Right. I just think, you know, this is a debate that Falcon fans have had with different, you know, general managers. And over the years, we used to argue about it with Dimitroff on the air because he always believed you do it from the back to front. And, you know, Alford and Trufant were certainly good. And look, you know, the Super Bowl, one of the lasting memories is Alford taking the house on the pick six, right? You know, and we he did draft really good skilled position guys, whether it was offensive, if you consider corners like defensive skill position. But we've just never gotten the trenches right. And it, to me, I think as fans, you look around the league, you talked about the Jets last 8 sacks. My God, could you imagine? We may not get to 8 sacks by, you know, Thanksgiving on this team, Carl.
But, I know.
You know, you see, you know, the TJ Watt, like, obviously there's name brands like the Bosa brothers, the usual suspects, but for some reason, we've just never, ever gotten that here in Atlanta, ever. Unless you were an older fan and you saw Claude Humphrey in his prime.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, plenty more on that coming up. Also, along the way, we mentioned this. We're going to head back to Dallas, talk to Bobby Belt. Bobby's part of the morning show. Sean and RJ, they have Jerry on every week.
So did Jerry yell at him, too?
He did. Yes. I'm going to fire everybody. Bobby is he covers the Cowboys. He does a great job, but he's a part of that morning show. So the fan in Dallas, we'll talk to him and get the latest with all that's going down as they get ready to head to Atlanta. Jason Longshore is going to hit us up a little bit later on this hour as well. We'll talk to him about the big matchup tomorrow. Atlanta United playing for an opportunity. You win tomorrow, Mike, then it's a winner take all. And you know this, anything can happen in those kinds of games. So you got to win tomorrow first. But this best of three thing, and that would be a week from Saturday, I believe. Right. But we'll talk to Jason about all of that. And what do they have to do, man, to try to slow this Miami team down? They are really – Mike, that team reminds me of our 18 team.
Right. I mean, it's loaded with stars. If you're a Barcelona fan, it's like they imported Barcelona into South Florida. It's like it's Lionel Messi, for crying out loud.
That's right.
He's the GOAT. But you've got a team which, look, Brad and company, it was just 2-1 in the first leg down there in their house. So we know hopefully we're going to hang. Look, it would be something just to extend the series, the fact they made the playoffs after all the soap opera that this season was for United. But we'll ask Jason. And I'm also curious, you know, win or lose, what the plan is going to be in the offseason.
All right, guys, plenty more to get to here on a big Friday show. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. So we've been talking about all these quarterbacks, Mike. Lamar looks great. Maybe he wins another MVP. You know, Sam Darnold in Minnesota, right? Jordan Love. Nobody has really given, I think, Jared Goff the love he deserves. So he's playing at an MVP level. Mike, 83.5% completion rate in his past four games. If you're a quarterback that has over a 65% completion rate, people are saying he's good. 83.5. So he set the record for highest completion percentage over any four-game span in NFL history. And he also has completed 35-yard touchdown passes this season. Is he not getting the love he deserves for MVP right now?
It's funny because when you get traded the way he was, and again, had Detroit gone to the Super Bowl, maybe they would have won it last year if Dan Campbell manages the clock a little bit better in the strategy. But you kind of become like damaged goods. You know, I mean, in the mind, it's like, you know, your fantasy league. Oh, am I going to – oh, I was in the bathroom in the auto draft. They took Jared Goff. Yeah, you're right. He just doesn't get the respect. And he had like a four, he's got in the middle of like a four-game stretch, which is better than anything the guys like Joe Montana has done, you know, or John Elway or even Dan Marino. So it's crazy where he is completion-wise, 13-4 touchdowns to picks. He's got big-time weapons, got two great running backs. But yeah, he just, and I don't know, maybe it's Motown bias. For some reason, you're right, he deserves some love.
Yeah, he's been really good, man. Hey, the Bills are thriving off their turnovers. Their quarterback, Josh Allen, threw his first turnover last week, first interception. But the turnover ratio for the Bills is plus 11. The Bills lead the league in turnover margin, which is why they've been winning here the last few weeks. And Allen went 203 consecutive passes without an interception. That's the longest streak by a quarterback to start a season, Mike, in Bills franchise history, throwing his first last week. Point is this. The Bills' defense, ironically, may carry them to where they want to be. Mm. It's not going to be Josh Allen having to play out of his mind. It might be this defense that takes them there.
They got 8 interceptions. The Falcons, by the way, have 7. Minnesota leading the league with a dozen.
Wow.
And Detroit's got 10. So we're getting there. We're in the mix, you know. But it shows you. I mean, that's why, getting back to our conversation, which has dominated the last, the whole season, about pass rush. If you can be an opportunistic defense where you can – but you still got – to me, the interceptions get created by pressure on the quarterback. You know, the quarterback says, I'm really dumb, and usually that happens when you're in his face.
It's true. Meanwhile, while we're talking about all the matchups and things that are going on, Cowboys coming in here, and as far as the injuries, and Mike kind of laid it out for you for our offensive line. By the way, does any of that concern you if Lindstrom is unable to play?
I mean, it looked like Lindstrom from the sideline. He looked like he was good to go back on Sunday, but this is just precautionary, and obviously probably a little more swelling after they got back from Tampa.
Yeah.
But he was out there, so they gave, you know, put some pressure on it yesterday, today. So let him go, because you know a guy in Hinton can step up and do the job. And certainly if they're going to run the football, McGarry, look, we're not complaining about McGarry, knock wood. And Dahlman, I'd love to see Dahlman return, but Ryan Neuzel has done a fine job at center. This goes, give credit to, you know, I used to, you know, talk about Dimitroff last segment. This is one where give credit to Fontenot and his personnel guys. We've got more depth at O-line that we can take some of these hits.
So a guy just asked me on social media, put him up, see Dukes, follow Mike and Mike Bell ATL. He says, why are you guys so confident? Well, the Cowboys are last in rushing the football, 32nd. They are second to last in stopping the run, 31st. Guys, that is why I feel like Mike and I are confident. If you go into this game and you're telling me we can't run the ball against these dudes, we can't run it against anybody, Mike.
Look, the Seattle game was a weird one. We'd already covered that. The psychology of coming out flat and just never finding our game, actually making 3 mistakes that probably lost us the game in that one. But this is one where, like, I get it. They're going to be juiced. Whenever the Cowboys come in, I'm not sure if we're going to make them wear white or blue. Sometimes teams will make them wear the visiting uniform. Either way, you see the star on the helmet, everything gets amped up. Teams get up for Dallas, right? That's always been their story. So I can't imagine these guys come out flat. And just the matchups, when you hear the story, you'll find out from Bobby Belt down in Dallas just where they're at. They don't run the football. Carl talked about it. They don't stop the run. That's a combination for Arnell.
Yeah. And again, the only thing that evens the playing field is if we start turning it over, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. If we play just a clean game and do what we do, we're going to win this game. That's how you should feel going in. But if we start doing dumb things and turning it over, of course, that's the equalizer. And then you're giving the Cowboys extra opportunities, or they get a scoop and score, something crazy. That, yes, those things happen. But I'm just simply saying, if we play like we did against Tampa clean, Mike, this should be a game that we have control over, hopefully.
Right on.
It is the NFL Blitz, brought to you by our friends again at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Hey, as we're going around the league and talking about all the things that are going on around the NFL, it's crazy to think that we may be talking about a rookie of the year in Jaden Daniels, Mike, and he could potentially be better than last year's rookie. Do you think he's better than C.J. Stroud right now?
Well, we talked about it earlier. C.J. Stroud's missing some of his best weapons and eventually get Nico Collins back. But I think the decision-making with him sometimes is curious. You know, he can move. I mean, we know he can move. Georgia fans remember.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the semifinal of the championship. Yeah. So I think that's something where the offensive coordinator was being considered for every head coaching job. He's got to figure out, look, if it's not there, pick him up and put him down. Don't hurt yourself, get out of bounds, but move the chains or at least get positive yardage. I thought there was ample opportunity where they just screwed up. I mean, they got a great field position on one of the Jets' turnovers. Next thing you know, they're missing a field goal because Stroud's not making crisp decisions like maybe he did last year.
Yeah, and answer this for me. Mike, Saints wide receiver Chris Olave said he's considering wearing the Guardian cap this weekend against the Carolina Panthers. He had a concussion in week 6. Meanwhile, Tua is reluctant to put it on.
Right.
I don't get this.
Well, here's the thing. You know, when was it Mark Kelso with the Buffalo Bills? And there's other players that have worn a protective extra layer. They got to come up with a better design. So you got like that sort of, it's like a helmet condom that slips over the helmet, for lack of a better word. And it doesn't look aesthetic. It looks goofy. They need to come up with a little bit of a vinyl shell or something so it's got uniformity with the helmet so it doesn't look so jive. Now, granted, you're still going to look like the Martian from Bugs Bunny. The Earth, it blocks my view of Venus. I'm going to blow it up. But you'll still at least, it'll look a little bit cooler than what these things look like. These things look really bad.
Yeah, but are you telling me it is style over substance that these guys don't want to wear a Guardian cap because it doesn't look good, but yet I'm willing to take another concussion?
Well, remember the scene in Major League when they find out that the Charlie Sheen character needs glasses, and they get him glasses, and the old guy goes, well, seeing is the most important thing, and then Wesley Snipes goes, it ain't that important, because he had some ugly glasses. Yes, I just think they got to find a way to streamline this thing, man.
He had the old square, old woman glasses on.
Remember that?
Oh, man.
Well, seeing is the most important thing.
Yep. Hey, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We got a lot more to get to. Speaking of those Cowboys, we're going to head to Dallas and talk to a friend of the show, finding out what he thinks about what's going to happen on Sunday. Bobby Belt is going to join us coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And to the Metroplex, Big D, Dallas Cowboys coming into town to take on the Atlanta Falcons. Our man, Bobby Belt, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, part of the Sean and RJ show in the morning, and you hear him all the time there. Bobby, it's good to have you on the show. I heard Mike McCarthy this week say that they're not taking care of the football, and he didn't say Dak Prescott specifically, but we know Prescott has thrown 2 interceptions in the last 3 games each game. So was that one of those unspoken messages about what's going on with this offense right now?
Well, I mean, I think certainly the turnovers are a big part of it. I also think that Mike McCarthy has a tendency to provide CYA analysis a lot of times with the offense and how things are playing out. And so, yeah, I mean, whether it was a veiled shot or not or any sort of attempt to obfuscate, potentially it would fall in line with how he's, you know, approached taking responsibility for things at times, which has not always been head on. And so Dak's got to play better. He's not been good this season. This has been by far the worst year of his career. But Mike McCarthy's the one in the contract here. He's got to show up. And this roster, while it is a little bit more depleted, it's banged up. They lost a lot of depth this offseason. It's not bad enough to excuse the way they've played.
Is it comparable with the Jets or just not at that level?
It's different. You know, it's bad like the Jets, but it's bad in a different way, I feel like. You know, the Jets were, it felt like undue expectations to me, and a lot of banking on, oh, you know, we're going to believe Aaron Rodgers is still who he was. Tyron Smith isn't, you know, some past his prime former Hall of Famer, and, you know, adding all these older players. That felt very much to me like 2000 Washington, like when Daniel Snyder thought they were going 16-0. That's what the Jets feel like. The Cowboys are 3 straight 12-win seasons. They've been a legitimate, you know, contender for the NFC the last few years, and then they get into January and things just fall apart. This just more feels like a sad ending to a contending window is what this feels like.
Yeah, we talk about windows all the time on our show. Bobby, what's wrong with Micah? What's the deal, and why is this taking so long for him to get back from it?
I mean, I think high ankle sprains, obviously those can be finicky and they'll, you know, linger for a long time. But specifically with edge rushers, I mean, guys like Micah who are trying to bend the corner and use that flexibility in their lower half to dip under tackles and, you know, win their reps that way, it's especially going to linger longer with him, I think. So, it was a bad ankle sprain in the first place when he had it happen. I think they thought initially 4 to 6 weeks. We're just past the 4-week mark now, so 5. So, I mean, I think we're getting closer. But Friday or Saturday, as it stands now, on Friday, I don't think Sunday against Atlanta is a reasonable possibility. It'd be more the week after where I think you start considering he might have a chance to play.
It is a Bobby Belt, guys, from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Carolina and the Cowboys are tied for giving up the most rushing yards. We want to run the football. We're not great at it either. We're like 11th as far as giving up the most yards. You see us having our will and getting our way running the football on Sunday.
I mean, I see you having your way any way you want it, honestly. I don't think they have anybody to cover Kyle Pitts. I think the really varied way or you know, varied approach and then skill set of the skill players there, Darnell Mooney, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, I think they're all, you know, really difficult matchups for Dallas in different ways. And, I mean, look, San Francisco had a lot of success throwing middle of the field in intermediate depths, and that's the Atlanta approach a lot of times, you know, with Kirk Cousins and the way that he throws the football. And so I think they're going to have such a hyper focus on trying to make sure that they don't get beat and get beat by yards after catch by Mooney or Pitts or whoever else, that I think it's going to be even more difficult for them to slow down the run like the way they normally would. Atlanta's run the ball. I saw the note this week. Atlanta's run the ball on the outside the tackles more frequently than anybody else in the NFL this season. And that is exactly where Dallas is vulnerable and just cannot get to the edges quick enough. They read the run plays slow. They're not quick on their keys. I think if Atlanta wants to run the ball 40 times, they will be the fifth team this year to run for 180-plus on the Cowboys. That's just where things are at with that run defense right now. They're not very good. And I think that's the thing that's hard for the Cowboys and Jerry and fans to grapple with right now, is that they're looking for answers as to, well, what's wrong? What's happening here? What's going on here? There's nothing wrong other than just you're not good. You are not a good football team right now.
That's what I've been saying, Bobby. And I know Cowboy fans here are like, yeah, you're just saying that. No, they're not good.
No,
Bobby,
they're bad. They're really bad.
Let me ask you about the running back situation. Why did Jerry go out and address this? Listen, the Ezekiel Elliott thing, everybody likes Zeke. Nice guy. He can't play anymore. Why didn't he go out and address the running back situation, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, so they were a little bit of a victim of circumstance in that, they made a bad move. They traded a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance. I think the sweet spot in the draft this year was the fourth round to go get a running back. Mm-hmm. In fact, the in the five picks immediately after the pick that Dallas traded away for Trey Lance, within the five picks after that pick this past spring, it was Bucky Irving went to the Buccaneers, Ray Davis went to the Bills, and Isaac Grendo went to the 49ers. And Grendo tore him up the other day, and Ray Davis has been good in Buffalo, and Bucky Irving, I know you guys have seen him a couple times this year, he's been impressive for the Buccaneers. So that was one part of it in the draft run. And then I think Jerry would have loved to have gone out there and got Derrick Henry. I know Derrick Henry has been a big pressure point for him, and he keeps just insisting, well, we couldn't afford him, and we couldn't do this and that. I think Jerry wanted to do it. Jerry is not as much of a rule with an iron fist guy anymore as much as he is a builder of consensus. And he has a front office group and guys he's put in charge, and he sits there kind of as an executive with his veto pen and overrides things occasionally. But generally, he's just there to oversee consensus, figure out what it is, and apply it. And I think that's what he did with Derrick Henry. I think he would have liked to have gone and got him, and he was being told, we can't afford it. And so he didn't pursue it, and I think that's part of why he gets so frustrated when it comes up. But Derrick Henry, it doesn't have to be Derrick Henry. J.K. Dobbins was cheaper than Ezekiel Elliott. There have been other running backs that are out there this year that have been cheaper than Ezekiel Elliott who have been more efficient. So it's not a total pass because they could have done more. But right. I think a lot of it is also just circumstances put them in a bad spot. And I can see how some of the misevaluations were made or how they missed opportunities to be able to, you know, cash in on a running back.
Bobby Belt from down in Dallas breaking it down for us here on Dukes and Bell. We asked a question yesterday, so I'll ask you because you're dialed in. Why didn't they just fire McCarthy after that humiliating loss to the Packers?
Look, Jerry Jones is not going to pay somebody to do nothing for him. He's not going to pay you to go sit on a beach.
Is that why some of the coaches like Garrett last so long down there?
I think part of it, yeah. I think he wanted Garrett to work out because Garrett was like a family member for the Joneses. With McCarthy, I think it's just they were going through their evaluation, and I think they looked at this two ways. One, I'm not going to pay you to do nothing. You're not going to get a full year's salary to just go sit on a beach while I pay another coach. And then I think the other thing was just they were kind of in a year of transition and evaluation and trying to figure out who they wanted to have here for the long run. So, yeah, I think they were kind of fine just saying, you know what, let's write out one-year deals on a few different people and make a final determination and see exactly who we want to hit the reset button on. But I would be absolutely stunned if Mike McCarthy were here next year. In fact, I don't see that as a realistic possibility. I didn't make the joke at the time. We were interviewing McCarthy this morning on the Fan, and Sean, our co-host, had made some joke about Halloween with him, and he said, "Well, Coach, you know, next year we'll try to get you to do yada yada yada." And I did want to break in and be like, "Where are you going to see him next year? Because he's not going to be on the phone line. He's not going to be here."
Yeah, he's not. Bobby, how do you see this game playing out, man? Is it closer than we think? I mean, listen, the Cowboys know they are in a tough spot. They need to go win a game and try to get things going again and hopefully get healthy. But what do you think happens on Sunday?
I don't know how Dallas is going to be able to consistently slow down Atlanta on offense. I think that they'll do their level best to provide resistance. I don't think effort was an issue against San Francisco. I think they were more disciplined on defense than they've been in recent weeks, and they still gave up 220 rushing yards. Like, they're just, they don't have the personnel right now. They're just not very good. And I think some of the ways that they typically fall into bad habits are ways that Atlanta can stress you, just with the run game on the perimeter and some of the stuff they like to do on the middle of the field and with crossing routes and things like that. And so all of that's going to be really difficult, I think, for Dallas to handle. So I would be surprised if Atlanta has to punt the ball more than two times on Sunday, to be honest.
Wow.
And so I think Dallas can take advantage of some things on offense, though. I think if Atlanta can't generate pass rush, that'll give Dallas a chance with a young offensive line that's struggled and with a Scott Novak crew that's calling this that doesn't call a lot of offensive holding. I think that gives Dallas a chance to finally settle into some good habits and what they want to do throwing the ball down the field, which they haven't really had an opportunity to do. But even with that said, I think it'll be I'd take the over on it. I'd say that, but this morning I picked Atlanta 38-24. So okay. I think that Atlanta wins this game pretty handily.
And that gets me in the over too, as well. By the way, over under. And by the way, just last nugget, just to follow up with Carl's take. Why does Dak get so tight? And where do the interceptions come from? Is he forcing it? Is it a mental thing? Because he's the highest paid freaking quarterback in the league.
Well, I mean, I think if you read the ESPN articles, apparently it's because there are tours at the facility or something, that they just get really distracted, I guess, by tours is part of it, at least if you listen to former players. But, no, for Dak, I think it's – look, when he had the 15 interception year in 2022, there were a lot of people who thought that was overblown with the Cowboys, where the vast majority of those interceptions that year came on option routes where receivers read them the wrong way. And they broke the wrong way, and Dak was throwing to the break on the option route. Player didn't read it the right way, and then the defensive back was just there to pick it off. So that's what happened a lot the other day. This year, he's just been objectively not good. And I think that that's – it's concerning to an extent, obviously, because he's playing so poorly. But I think a large portion of it or there's a thought process that says – how much of this is potentially just an offense he doesn't feel very comfortable in? I don't think he's ever felt comfortable in Mike McCarthy's offense. He was great in the second half of last year after they sort of toned down what McCarthy's influence was, and Dak was calling a lot of it at the line of scrimmage. But now that they've got two rookie offensive linemen and they're back to a lot of the McCarthy concepts and trying to run a really old, outdated version of the West Coast offense, I think it's clear he's just not very comfortable in it. And it just doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of will by anybody on the offense right now to put up a fight for the ideas and concepts they want. Because it feels like a lot of guys are just trying to run out the clock on McCarthy's contract and just say, you know, we're going to have somebody else here. Let's just get through this year. That's at least the read I get. Nobody said that, obviously, but it's the vibe you get off of their body language when they approach things or the exhaustive answers that they give you. So I don't think Dak's been very good this year. I think his lack of time with CD during training camp has showed up in their communication and caused for some of these interceptions. But unlike a couple years ago where a lot of it could be put on receivers at times, this has been wholly on Dak Prescott this season.
Were you surprised his teammates left him off that list? Did you see this? I know you did.
I did see it. No, I'm not too surprised. I mean, look, it sounded to me like they were naming current guys who are playing well right now, because they threw Darnold in there over Joe Burrow. So that made me think that this is a pretty current list. But then again, they threw Patrick Mahomes on there, and Mahomes, while he's great, if you talk about how they're playing right now, Mahomes is upside down on his touchdown interception ratio. So he's not been much better than Dak in that respect this year. But no, I'm not totally surprised that Micah and Diggs are two different kind of cats, and they're just going to kind of say it how they see it. But I mean, Micah's had Dak in his top five before, so maybe it was. Who knows? Maybe it was a little slight. That locker room can turn very toxic very quickly right now, I think, just because there's so many people who don't know what their future is here right now. And losing does that. Same thing happened in 2019, where guys didn't know which way they were going. That locker room turned awful really fast with a couple of different guys in there. And Michael Bennett, who they traded for in the middle of the year, came in here 2 weeks into it, is in the locker room screaming after a game because he felt like there was no genuine passion or authenticity in that locker, and somebody needed to do it. And so I think if they were to lose this game, and look, I said it on the radio this week, I don't think they win another game till Thanksgiving. I think they're going to be 3-7, 3-8 by the time Thanksgiving rolls around. Then yeah, we might see some more of that. So maybe that's a symptom of that with Micah and Trayvon Diggs, but also could just be they're just two dudes sitting around talking about who they think's playing really well right now.
Bobby, great job, man. Continued success in Big D, 105.3 The Fan with Sean and RJ. Bobby Bell, thanks so much, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Mike, we're going to win on Sunday.
Let's not start.
Come on, Mike.
Let's not start the
cashing
in.
This is two separate independent reports
but again,
from Dallas.
If you can't get Dak on the ground, he's going to burn us. I mean, that's why I'm betting the over in this game. I think Dallas is still going to score at least three touchdowns, maybe more.
Coming up, thanks for dampering my party right there.
We are not in a position yet to start doing Nostradamus on this. Not yet.
All right. Jason Longshore is going to join us, guys. What's going down with Atlanta United? Big playoff matchup at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll talk about it next. You're not ready to say we're going to win this thing on Sunday, Mike. Come on.
Man, as a Falcon fan, I am 99%, you know, not going to go back to that old way of thinking of Falconitis and all that. But, you know, don't trap me into, like, you know. I mean, no, I mean, if you want to go strictly by the numbers, the statistics, and everybody we spoke to in Dallas, you know, feels that they can't do the things they need to do to beat us. But until you can tell me how we're getting Dak Prescott on the ground, I'm going to tell you he can still find CeeDee Lamb and they can still score some points.
All right, that's true.
But yeah, that's just, my. But I mean,
when he said all that, though, Mike. When he said all that, when Bobby was talking, my chest was just bowing out. I'm just like, oh.
I mean, I get it. We're in a good spot. They're not in a good spot. But we'll table that discussion for a minute. More Falcons and some dogs coming up. But right now, it's our man Jason Longshore ready to go because we've got a monster matchup. And I said, Jason, some overtime work for the Mercedes-Benz staff. A night game with a full house against the biggest star on the planet.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolutely insane crowd tomorrow night. I don't know if it gets over 70,000, but it's going to be pretty close. And look, season's on the line against the best team in MLS history and Inter-Miami with Messi, with Suarez, with Jordi Alba, maybe with Sergio Busquets, although he's a little under the weather, so we'll have to wait and see.
Is there something we didn't do that we need to do in this match versus the first match that you feel like would put us over the top? I felt like we played well. You know, it's just one of those things where they made plays at the end where they needed to. Is there something that you feel like, hey, I'm putting my finger on this, and this is what we absolutely have to do?
You needed to not have to play in the midweek before the game. I mean, honestly, when you go back and you look at that, and a lot of people have talked about the format for MLS and the playoffs. It's not the format. The wild card should be at a disadvantage going against the number one team in the conference. I don't have a problem with playing the midweek game before. It's the fact that it was Tuesday and then Friday when other games in the first round were played on Saturday and Sunday and Monday. You could have played Tuesday. Right. You could have played it later and made it a little more reasonable in terms of a quick turn. But ultimately, Atlanta United was tired. You know, you had to go through the decision day drama in Orlando, and then you had to go to Montreal and go through that drama and go through penalties. Both were really intense, and both were very mentally draining. And what I was so impressed with in Fort Lauderdale was the fact that they conceded first, they found their legs, they got back into the game, they got a goal. Then they conceded the second on just an amazing goal from Jordi Alba.
Right.
And they didn't fold. They kept going and took it all the way to the wire, to the point that Tata Martino is making defensive substitutions late in that game. So fresh legs is going to be a big factor here. And I think if you play the same way in terms of tactics and mentality and you're fresher, that's going to be a big help tomorrow night.
All right, as you said, I mean, there's nothing more backbreaking than that, where the men in Blazers, the dreaded early goal, right? Jason Longshore is with us here, guys. And again, Mike Conte and him will have the call for you right here on 92.9 The Game. Whatever happens on Saturday night, what is this team going to look like? How different, or is this the team we're going to see in February from United?
No, it's going to look extremely different, win, lose, or draw on Saturday. And look, that's down the line. I mean, you're going to go out and be chasing two designated players and maybe other starters as well. And then there's the question about who's going to be in charge from the touchline, who's going to be the manager, and then there's going to be a general manager hired. So there's a lot to happen between now and that third week of February when the season opens up in 2025. For this group right now, they can't even think about that. You just have to go out and try to get to a game three in this series. You just have to put all your focus on the 90 minutes tomorrow, and look, maybe penalties, whatever it takes to send it back to Fort Lauderdale in game three. And the thing is about Miami, you know, Atlanta United has played them very well since that first meeting in the League's Cup last summer. Beat them at home, drew with them at home. Beat them on the road, took them to the wire in the postseason match. It's been very even. It's a very good matchup, and I think Atlanta United has to take advantage of everything they'll have going for them at home tomorrow night.
Jason, how good has Brad been?
Epically good.
Yeah.
It's criminal that nationally and locally he's not getting as much acclaim as he deserves, because he's had a whole season. He's been a best 11 goalkeeper of the year caliber goalkeeper in Major League Soccer. since the League's Cup, and you can even dial it up more in the last couple of weeks of the season and the postseason, he's been on a run that I don't know if he's ever been on it in his life. There's not many goalkeepers that have been on this kind of a run. He's been immense. And, you know, look, we can talk about the saves and all of that all day long because there's so many of them that we can go back through. We can talk about the plays that doesn't count as a save, the one that he comes 30 yards outside of his area to make a tackle with his left foot on Lionel Messi. Not a lot of defenders are pulling that move off. You know, you're doing all of that, but you're also doing all the things behind the scenes. You're doing all the things in the locker room. You're keeping this group going. You're supporting the coaching staff and helping them. You're working through all of these different things at once and putting this team on your back. And what Brad Gazan has done should never be forgotten. This run for him, it should be the measuring stick for what you want to see goalkeepers do with Atlanta United.
All right, man, who's going to be the man of the match? Saba? Who's going to save our cheese?
Saba's going to have to be vital. There's just no way around it. He's been such a weapon for this team on and off the ball. He never stops running. I don't know how he doesn't get fatigued. He just seemingly finds another level. I think in the midfield, the one that could be the game changer in this team is Bartosz Ślisz. And the reason I say that is, like, Miami is a team that is so good in transition because of Suarez, because of Messi, and they hide almost on the defensive side. And then when they win the ball back, they pop up into dangerous spots and crush you. Ślisz has got to defend that aspect of it. But the other thing about Messi and Suarez is they don't really defend a whole lot. So Ślisz is going to have that ability in front of the back line to pick out those passes. And Saba is going to be one that he picks out quite a bit. But he's also got that ball over the top potentially to TRA or to Daniel Rios. I think if Bartosz Ślisz plays at the level that we have seen him on the high end, Atlanta United will win. I think he can be the one that flips this result either way. He's got to have a big game tomorrow. And I think if he does, Atlanta United wins.
Let's hope so. Jason, thanks for stopping by. You and Mike Conti will have the call right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It should be an entertaining match, and hopefully we can extend this series and see where it goes. Have a great weekend, Jason. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys.
Jason Longshore, this hour is brought to you again by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're going to talk some dogs and gators coming up.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, the Gators were in the same position the dogs are in. They were the dominant program. Now things have shifted.
Right.
And Saturday is another opportunity for the dogs to show just how dominant they are. We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.